The following message was given by brothers Edwin Wrighton and Dennis Cooley in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, May 19th, 2019. The title of the message is Being in the Reality of the Body of Christ by Living in the Organic Union and in the Mingled Spirit and Being Conformed to Christ's Death. Scripture reading, John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5, Romans chapter 11, verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, and Romans chapter 8, verse 29.
We come to you this morning. We do need you. We do look to you that you will speak, Lord. We do desire your speaking. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. This morning's portion, at least the part that I'm going to share, is the highest revelation that we have. Maybe I better explain a little bit. And I would like to explain by the title. This week we have Being in the Reality of the Body of Christ by Living in the Organic Union and in the Mingled Spirit and by Being Conformed to Christ's Death. First of all, by living in the Organic Union. We may not have heard much this term, the organic union, but I believe we have heard many times living by the life of Christ. This is what we're talking about. And then it's all about being in the reality of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the goal that God has made for himself concerning us. So I'm praying that the Lord will give me the word, and I pray that all of us could be in spirit so we can get something. Don't feel sorry if you feel you didn't get enough. This is too high. So we really have to seek to receive what the Lord has for us by being in spirit. Otherwise, I tell you what you will be like, and you won't get anything. So, first of all, I was impressed by the title. And as I looked at it, I thought it meant being in the reality of the body of Christ by, one, living in the organic union, and by, two, in the mingled spirit, and by, three, being conformed to Christ's death. But when I got into it, I realized it's all just one thing. Why is this? In order for us to live in the organic union, we must be in the mingled spirit. In order for us to be in the mingled spirit, we must be conformed to Christ's death. So I look to the Lord that he will give us what is in his heart. Let's turn to John 15. 4 and 5. John 15, 4 and 5. Let's read this together. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I in him, bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Praise the Lord. is a very particular expression here. Abide in me, and I in you. If it would be possible for people to abide in one another, we would be saying that this is abiding, is living in the organic union. Of course, this cannot happen in the physical world. Therefore, it may be difficult for us to understand what it means to live in the organic union. Although we're friends, we're companions, we're lovers of Christ, this is much, much deeper to describe the relationship between us and Christ. The illustration used here is a vine with branches. If you have ever seen a vine, it's impossible to tell which is the vine itself and which are the branches. It is all one thing. This is living in the organic union. The Lord and I would be one if we lived in the organic union. So then let's turn to Galatians 2:20. Actually, this verse is the best description of what it is to live in the organic union. Let's read this verse together. I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. In the past, I didn't like this verse because it starts by, I am crucified with Christ. I don't like that. But what follows is marvelous. And it is no longer I who live. I don't live. But it is Christ who lives in me. And then it says, the life which I thought I was crucified. The first I is I in the flesh. The second I is in the spirit. And when you are in the spirit, how do you live? You live in faith. In me, there's only doubts. In Christ, there is faith. The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So here it describes very clearly what it is to be in the organic union. The focus is not in that we're crucified with Christ. The focus is, it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. So I hope that this explains it a little bit. Now we need to see that this union, organic union, is not only between us and Christ. We need to see that this organic union is also the body of Christ. This means that we are in an organic union, not only with Christ the head, but also with all the members of the body of Christ. Perhaps I digress a little bit here. Maybe we have some new ones. We need to realize the church is not exactly the same as the body. The church is all of us, and all of us are brothers and sisters. Why? Because we have the same life, because we have the same Father. But what about the body of Christ? The body of Christ transcends time and place. It is hard for us to understand or to visualize. This morning we had the Lord's table. At the Lord's table, we ate the bread. Now, what does 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 tell us about eating the bread at the Lord's table? It tells us that we're one because we eat the one bread, not only in New York, in the whole planet. This the mind cannot understand. But we need to realize this is what the Bible is telling us. Right now, today, we had the Lord's table and we shared the bread in New York. Also, today, in Santiago, Chile, they're also eating the same bread because they're part of the same body of Christ. So I hope this is a little clearer. Then let's turn to Romans 12:5. Let's read the verse together. So we who are many are one body in Christ, individually members one of another. I like so much the end of this verse. Individually members one of another. We're members of the one body of Christ. And this is so enjoyable. This is so precious. This is so sweet. We love one another. Why? Because we're all members. Individually. Please notice. Individually members one of another. So it's normal for us to love one another. We are sick if we offend one another or if we try to show that we're better than one another. So how we thank the Lord that the organic union is a body matter, as we see in this verse. The key phrase in this verse is in Christ. Whenever we see in Christ, that is the organic union. We're one body in an organic union. We are an organic union with Christ as one body. Outside the organic union, we're not a part of the body. We can only be the body in name, but it won't be in reality. I would like to emphasize again the focus, the center of the Christian life is the body, which is the high point of God's revelation and the ultimate item of God's continual working. So we need to really appreciate the body. It's so wonderful that people from other countries, people that we don't know, people that we have never met, when we meet in a training, in a conference, there is a oneness. There is a love there. There is an appreciation there. And I've had cases where they come to me very warmly, and I have never seen that person. You know what they tell me? I've seen you in the internet. So it's so wonderful that we are all members of the one universal body of Christ. So we need to consider that this is the most important item as far as the Lord is concerned, as far as He sees things. The relationship that God desires to have with man is that He and man be grafted together. This explains a little better what it is to live in the organic union. When we're grafted together, we become one in an organic union. In other words, we become one in life. Amen. Let's read Romans 6, 3 to 5. Let's read now Romans 11:17. Romans 11:17. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and became a fellow partaker of the root of fatness, the olive tree. This is a picture of the organic union. The grafting. When you graft a branch of a plant into a tree, first of all, the branch has to be cut off. But also, the tree has to have a cut where you put the branch. The tree is a picture of the Lord. He was crucified for us. The branch is a picture of us being conformed to Christ's death. But the wonderful thing is that the branch normally is of a lower class plant. Maybe the tree is sweet and the branch is sour. But the interesting thing is that the higher life, the better life, takes over from the poorer life of the branch. This is a picture of the organic union. When we're in the organic union, living by the life of the Lord, our life gets uplifted. Praise the Lord. It never goes the other way. So this is a good picture. Then we also need to realize that this grafting can only happen between similar types of plants. For instance, you cannot graft the branch of an apple tree in a pear tree. It just won't work. This really shows us something so precious, that we are very much like God, right? Genesis 1:26 tells us God created us in His image, according to His likeness. So Adam's kind is really not according to mankind, but according to Godkind. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then let's read Romans 6, 3 to 5. Or are you ignorant that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized buried therefore with Him, baptism into His death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so also we might walk in newness of life. For if we have grown together with him in the likeness of his death, indeed we will also be likeness of his resurrection. Verse 5 makes things very clear. If we have grown together with him in the likeness of his death, indeed we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So here it is something organic. There's a growth. So this really denotes an organic union. And let me read footnote 1 on verse 5 that says, this denotes an organic union in which growth takes place. One partakes of the life and characteristics of the other. In this organic union with Christ, whatever Christ passed through has become our history. His death and resurrection have become ours. This is grafting, where the superior life always uplifts the inferior one. And now we come back to the outline again. I was really struck by the Roman numeral 1. Roman numeral 1 says, we enter, notice, we enter into the reality of the body of Christ by living in the organic union with Christ. So, if we're not in the organic union, we have not even entered into the reality of the body of Christ. So how we need to remain in the organic union. Then let's read 1 Corinthians 6:17. Saints, this is a wonderful verse, a precious verse. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. Do you realize when we are in spirit, our spirit is mingled with the life-giving spirit? This is what the verse is saying. When we're in the organic union, we are one spirit. And this is what was mentioned in the title. Not only living in the organic union, but in the mingled spirit. We become one spirit. The matter of the organic union is related to our mingled spirit. Why mingled? You know, if you read through the verses in Romans, I believe, towards the end of Romans 8, maybe chapter 9 also, it talks about God's spirit testifying with our spirit. So this mingled is not an imagination. It's in the Word. And this is the practical application of the organic union. If we're not in the mingled spirit, we're not in the organic union. So then the third item here is, and by being conformed to Christ's death. And Brother Dennis will take care of that.
Let's read 1 Corinthians 6:17 one more time together. Who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. This may be one of the most important verses in the entire Bible. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And we're talking about this matter of the organic union with Christ, abiding in Christ, and of living and of the mingled spirit. And that's what this verse is talking about. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. There is a mingled spirit within us. And if we are living in this mingled spirit, we are in the reality of the body of Christ. So it's quite something. It's not something outside of us that we need to search for and look for to be in the reality of the body. It is in your spirit. And your spirit is mingled with the consummated spirit of the triune God. And you're really united with Him. You're joined with Him. You are mingled with Him in your mingled spirit. And if we will see the depth of this verse, and as our brother mentioned, this whole outline here is quite deep, because it's talking about bringing us into the reality of the body. You know, in the later part of Brother Lee's ministry, there was a lot of success through his ministry. Churches throughout all the earth, churches throughout many, many countries on the earth. The Lord is raising us up and bringing us into this experience of being one spirit with the Lord and enjoying our human spirit. But the Lord spoke to him one day and said, yeah, you have a lot of churches, but where is the reality of the body of Christ? And that struck him. So the last part of his life, he devoted to this topic, to try to help us to come into the reality. You know, we were baptized into one body. The fact that we are the body of Christ is already accomplished. But are we living in the reality of that fact? I have to confess, I don't think I'm living that much in this reality. I don't think I'm living that much in this organic union in my daily life. And I don't think I'm living that much in my mingled spirit in my daily living. I still live very much by myself and in my culture and according to my, you know, my upbringing. Not that much allowing the Lord Jesus to live through me. I don't know about you, but I think we all could go further in this experience. And for this, I was struck by these two verses, Philippians 3:10 and Romans 8:29, which both have this word conformed. Philippians 3:10 says conformed to being conformed to his death. And Romans 8:29 says that we're being to be conformed to the image of his son. And the footnote in Philippians 3:10 is quite helpful. This matter of being conformed, it kind of defines it, is to take Christ's death as the mold of one's life. You know, sometimes my wife will bake a cake and she puts it in a mold, a certain shape, you know, kind of has like a bundt cake. Anyway, it's one kind of, but there are different kinds of molds. You can make a cake that looks like a, I don't know, a rabbit or something. You have a mold and you put the cake batter inside and you cook it in the mold. Then you flip it over and you take the mold off and the cake looks like the shape of whatever the mold was. It's molded into that form, into that shape. And here, that's what this word is talking about. To be conformed, right, to Christ's death. To his death. To take Christ's death as the mold of one's life. Paul lived a crucified life continually, a life under the cross, just as Christ did in his human living. Through such a life, the resurrection power of Christ is experienced and expressed. The mold of Christ's death refers to Christ's experience of continually being put to death, putting to death his human life that he might live by the life of God. To be conformed to Christ's death is to experience Christ's experience of being put to death in his daily life. You know, in John chapter 5, verse 19, verse 30, and throughout some portions of that chapter in chapter 6, the Lord was testifying. He did nothing by himself. Whatever he saw the Father doing, that's what he did. Whatever the Father spoke, he spoke. He didn't speak his own word. He wasn't doing his own work. He was on the earth as a man, denying himself, denying his own will, and choosing the Father's will. I mean, the obvious example is at Gethsemane, where he expressed that his will was not to go to the cross, and he prayed to the Father, if there's any way this could pass from me. But he said at the end, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And this is the way he lived his entire life, day by day, not by his own human life. You know, many times, I don't know if you've ever thought this, but, you know, the Bible tells us we should, you know, we should not sin, we should not, you know, lie, we should not do a lot of things that we do spontaneously because we have a sinful nature. So sometimes when I was young, I would complain, well, Lord, it's you can do that because you're God, but I'm just a fallen sinner, and it's impossible for me. I just can't do that. But eventually I saw after I came into the church life that, yes, he did have a sinless human life, but he didn't live by that sinless human life. He denied the sinless human life to live by the life of God. That puts him on the same plane as we are on. We need to deny our sinful human life to live by the life of God. The principle is the same. We need to be conformed to his death in our daily living. And if we will be those who are abiding in him, who are in this organic union in our daily experience, if we are living and walking by the mingled spirit, we will be able to, and we will be strengthened to, and we will be enlightened to deny ourselves and put our own choice aside to allow the Lord to live through us. That is being molded into the death of Christ. I heard a testimony which was given last night. I wasn't in the Spanish-speaking meeting, but my wife was there. And one of the saints gave this testimony, and I think all of us who are parents can relate to this very much. You know, we ask our children to do some task, I don't know what, you know, the dishes or clean the bathroom or whatever we ask them to do. And so, you know, then, you know, because our children are obedient, they do it. But then we go in and look to see how they did it, and we're not happy with the way they did it. They didn't do it as good as we did it. And so we wanted, you know, just call out to them and say, hey, come here for a minute, wait a minute, look at this, you know, and complain about them. So the sister had a similar kind of a testimony, but the Lord touched her as she was about to call to, you know, rebuke her child. And the Lord touched her and said, ah, don't say a thing. That is being conformed to the death of Christ. That is being experiencing Christ in his death. You know, when he was 12 and went to Jerusalem, and his parents left him in Jerusalem and started to go back on their own with the caravan of their family, and they left him there alone, all by himself. Then when they found out, you know, where, Joseph, where's Jesus? I don't know, I thought you had him. I thought you had him. No, oh, we got to go back. So they went all the way back, and then they found him in the temple, and his mother said, where have you been? We've been looking all over for you. There was an opportunity for the Lord to say, what are you talking about? You left me. I didn't run away from you. You left me. You knew where I was supposed to be. He did it. He did it. He denied his own life, his own self. And he says in that chapter, and he left with them and submitted himself to them. He lived a life that way. And 1 Peter 2:21 says, he's left this life to us as a model that we could learn from this. We could practice this and live a life being conformed to his death. If we are living a life being conformed to his death, we surely will be conformed to his image, to the image of the firstborn Son of God. You can't be conformed to his image without being conformed to his death. And this is part of our responsibility. It's part of our exercise to be living in the reality of the body of Christ. By being one spirit with the Lord, by being united with him, and then eventually by that kind of exercise, we're being conformed to his death. You know, a couple of examples of the Lord that also struck me was that, you know, he, after his crucifixion and resurrection, two of his disciples were depressed, discouraged, and they were walking on the way down to Emmaus. And so he came and walked alongside of them in his resurrection. They didn't recognize him. And, you know, he asked them, what are you talking about? And they said, well, you don't know what's been happening. And he says, what things have been happening? You know, kind of pretended that he didn't know to get them to open up. And so they started to tell him everything. Then he opened the scripture to them about all the prophecies concerning himself and how these things have to take place, you know. They still didn't recognize him. And so he said, well, they were going to walk along. And he said, okay, well, you know, go ahead. We'll see you later, something like this. And they said, no, come with us a little further. And so he went with them, and he's to break some bread with them and eat with them. And as he broke the bread, they recognized who it was. They saw this was the Lord. And then he disappeared. So then they ran back to Jerusalem, and they told the disciples what happened. And, you know, they have this kind of phrase, didn't our hearts burn within us, you know, when he spoke to us these things? And I was thinking about that. You know, if you and I were the Lord and two of our disciples are walking down there and they're, you know, I mean, I go down, what are you guys doing? Come on, get back here. I told you where to go. Why are you doing this? This is ridiculous. You're being foolish. Come on. I would rebuke them and drag them back. But the Lord did not do that. He did not do that. He laid aside his own choice, his own desire, and just went with them, spoke to them. Eventually, he was revealed to them. And I feel like, brothers and sisters, if we want to express the Lord, we have to experience these things. In our daily life, whether it's on the job and we're getting, you know, reprimanded for something or whatever, it's so natural, it's so common to justify ourselves. Well, it was because my coworker gave me all the extra work and all these kind of things. But at that time, how about just getting to your spirit, opening up and turning to the Lord, and allowing the death of Christ to operate in you. Whatever that means at that time, just allowing the death of Christ. Not to react so quickly, not to justify ourselves so soon, but just to open to the Lord and allow him to work in us and operate in us. The goal is for the body of Christ, to be living in the reality of the body. And I don't know, one of the reasons I feel this message is so deep, and the brothers talked about this, the depth of this kind of word, is that it's a corporate matter. It's not just, yes, we all have to experience it individually, but what we're talking about, the reality of the body of Christ, is a corporate matter. And if we're in this reality, then it's real to us that when one member suffers, we all suffer. It's real to us when one member is glorified, we all rejoice with it. There's no jealousy, there's not anything. There's just this oneness with one another. There's this love for one another. There's no judgment of each other. That is the reality of the body of Christ. And brothers and sisters, the Lord won't speak this to us if he doesn't think we're ready to practice it. I believe we're ready to practice this, and we must practice this. The Lord wants to come. This world is getting worse and worse, week by week, day by day. It's hard for me even to watch the news anymore. My only hope is, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. Do away with all this nonsense and bring in your kingdom. But for that, we must be living in the reality of the body of Christ. We must enjoy our mingled spirit every day. We must enjoy this organic union with the Lord, this grafting. You know, one of the songs we sang today talked about it. We've been grafted in. It's a marvelous, marvelous fact. And so I just pray, Lord, I pray that all of us would experience this more day by day. Not to be afraid of the Lord's death and being conformed to his death, but realize this is a normal thing. We just want to experience what Christ experienced when he was living on the earth, because he is living now in your spirit. So I hope that we would have more experiences of this week.